Okay, so this week's Parsha, Ki Tavo, we're continuing in Shadal, and in previous times that we've done this, I don't know if the comments that we've read are like the most paradigmatic Shadal type of thing, but here in Ki Tavo, we finally, like, I can pick a really good one, which is really emblematic of who Shadal is, the type of way he thinks about, and the concerns that he has right here in the text. Okay, so we have lots of curses in Ki Tavo, lots of different really bad things read quietly. And in Chav Chet, Chav Gimel, we have the pasuk that says, Vayishimecha asher al roshcha nechoshet la'aret asher tachtei barzel. The skies will be bronze, the land will be iron, it will be really bad for you. You will not be able to get any water, and you won't also be able to yield any crops during these times of curses. Okay, take a look at what Rashi says. There's like two, right? In this version, there's the Rashi text, and then there's the Shadal text under it. You see it's labeled on the right side. The reason why they did that, by the way, is they said, we really, like in this edition, that's not how Shadal originally printed. He had his Italian translation on one side, and on the bottom, running along the Hebrew and the Italian, he had his commentary in Hebrew. So why they added Rashi? What do you think?
Because he references Rashi at them.
So first of all, because Shadal is interested in what Rashi has to say. Not always. Meaning that he's giving his own interpretation, but sometimes he's commenting on Rashi.
Compare that?
Sometimes it's good to compare Rashi with Shadal, I guess, like very wide range of commentators.
But an accepted thing these days, just always Rashi.
Exactly, that's what they, it's not just that it's accepted, it's like, I want you to want to bring this to shul. I want you to want to, like, you know, enjoy the Sefer as a chumash. So that's why he did it. I would have thought that Shadal is more interested in Unkelus than Rashi. He's more interested in what Unkelus has to say, and he even wrote a book called Ohev Ger, which means love for the convert, in reference to Unkelus. And he wrote, his love for Unkelus started when he was a young lad in the libraries and genizas of Padua, of Italy. And he said he even found an ancient manuscript of Unkelus that he kept. It's like a well-known nowadays manuscript, and he used that as part of his studies in Unkelus. He named his son Ohev Ger. It's not exactly, it doesn't roll off the tongue. There's an Italian name for it. I always forget what it is, but it's one word, I think, in Italian. So if you look at Rashi over here, it's a very fascinating thing. The first line in Rashi, you see that? Somebody want to tell me what it says? That first line on the right side column of Rashi. Klalo talalu, these curses. Moshe mipi atzmo amran. He said them himself. It didn't come from God. What? That's crazy. Rashi quotes that, and so that should be theologically problematic, right? I think. I don't know. It should strike you as problematic. So Shadal talks about this, right? He says like this. Masha katav kan Rashi, that which Rashi says here. Klo talalu Moshe mipi atzmo amran, that Moshe said these himself. It didn't come from God. Heim divrei ha'tamim b'megillah daf lamed aleph. This actually comes from the Gemara and Megillah. Rashi didn't make it up. L'girsa d'arif heim divrei abaye. And according to the Rif's version, it's actually abaye. So it's interesting. Shadal doesn't often get into exactly like sources in the Gemara and who says what, but he wants to point out it's not just the Stam Gemara. It's like an important Amora. His name is Abaye. Abaye says this, right? Ushar divrei Rashi, Shibrishono tu omer, Shmechem, Kibarzel, whatever, Humitoris Kohanim. The rest of it actually comes from a different thing. It doesn't even come from the Megillah, from the Gemara in Megillah. It comes from Torah Kohanim, Parsha Chukotai, Bechukotai. So if you look at Ube Parsha Bechukotai, Katav Rashi Zo, Kashem Yisho Moshe, we're not going to get into actually this aspect of it. Aval b'Torah Kohanim ein katuv kach. It doesn't say that in Torah Kohanim. Ela zo kasha me'achrona. Okay, fine. But I want you to see the next part because I think this is really fascinating. Devar zeh v'devar zeh hamiyuchas lo Abaye. This thing that we're that is attributed to Abaye, at least in the Rif's girsa of the Gemara, devar tamua u me'od. It's very surprising. Tosfos Kasva, and if you look at Tosfos, Tosfos jumps on that Gemara right there and says Moshe Me'atzma Amra, when it says that he said it himself, Uberuach HaKodesh, he said it through prophecy, Ruach HaKodesh. I don't know if that's a lesser prophecy. What does the Gemara mean according to Tosfos? It's not clear to me. Is it a lesser form of prophecy? Is that what Tosfos is saying the Gemara means? At the very least, they're trying to resolve the theological issue of saying that Moshe made it up. Moshe put something in the Torah, or rather said something that was not from God. That these klalot, Moshe decided to go off on his own and make up his own stuff. So, it's interesting, by the way, there's two theological problems. Now I'm saying it out loud. Two theological problems. Number one is that Moshe's speaking to the Jewish people. And he's representing God, right? He's saying to the people, these bad things are going to happen to you. The Jewish people are going to assume that that means that he's speaking from God, for on behalf of God. What it sounds like is that Moshe Rabbeinu made it up, so it's a problem in terms of the Jewish people in front of him. But number two is the problem of what it sounds like, that it's written down in the Torah as if it comes from God. Right? The fact that it's in the Torah would seem to indicate that it's from God. Right? That's another problem. That's resolvable in the following way, which is that once Moshe said it, and it was on his own, God approved. God let him run it in. Okay, that's easy to resolve. He says, Tosfos says, Moshe me'atzmo amran. When Tosfos says, it came from Ruach HaKodesh, removing the issue of whether this came from prophecy, how he understands what the Gemara is actually saying. It's a lesser form of prophecy. Does that matter? Not clear. Okay. The Haran Kata, but if you look at the Ran, another Rishon, the Ran says, well, like we just said, maybe the fact that it's written in the Torah means that God approved it, right? It was approved to put in the Torah, so it's not a problem of Moshe making his own stuff up. Let's just be explicit, by the way, about the problem here, is that the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, in the 10th Perek, says that if you doubt, first of all, it says in the Mishnah that if you say that the Torah is not from Shemayim, lo min haShemayim, then that's you lose your chelek in Olam Haba. The Gemara, commenting on that, says that if you even claim that one sentence, one word, one letter came from Moshe Rabbeinu, that is a problem of losing your chayag and olam haba. So this is matters. Like we're saying, this actually came. The Gemara itself feels free to say that Moshe put it in. So you have these solutions, Tosfos and the Ran. Okay, take a look at what Shadal says, commenting on this. Lufiha emet devar zeh miyuchas le'abaye. So first of all, and this is classic Shadal, he says, this that is attributed to Abaye, there's no reason to say it. There's no support for it in the text. Why claim that this came from Moshe Rabbeinu? So he feels free, and it is in the Gadata, he feels free to say that this is not pshat. It's not pshat. Okay? Why? Shahare bepasukhaf, if you look at pasukhaf, it says katuf, v'nei ro'am el alecha asher azavtani. It's speaking in the name of God, and God speaks, like in the first person. Lo asher azavta et Hashem, not in the third person, right? That God, that which you have abandoned, it says you have abandoned me, but it should have said if Moshe was speaking, and it was by himself, that you have abandoned God, right? Nevertheless, he says, it's important for me to comment about this and talk about this. We can learn something amazing from this. There was a free spirit of inquiry among our ancient ones. Our rabbis were willing to put stuff on the table that today maybe we've closed our minds to. Sha'af al pisha chachmeya mishnamir v'breita, as we talked about in the breita in Sanhedrin, Saditet, I think it's on Amud Aleph, but might be on Amud Bet, they don't say here. Zeha omer ein Torah min haShemayim. We learn out in the breita over there that anybody who says that the Torah is not from Shemayim, afilu kol haTorah kula min haShemayim, chutz mipasuk zeh, even if you say that the entire Torah is from Shemayim, is from God, except for this one pasuk, right? You lose your chelik in olam haba. Shlo amir HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you say that it wasn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu who said it, El Moshe mipi atzmos, but it was Moshe himself who said it, that is a blasphemy and something that God despises. So what is Shadal saying? Shadal says, I think that you could take Abaye, what's attributed to Abaye, literally. I think that that Agadita can be taken literally. Abaye felt that this was said by Moshe, and he did not feel hamstrung by a Braita that says that you lose your chelik in Olam Haba, because this is about interpreting the text. It's about understanding the text. Whether that got him into hot water, maybe, maybe not. Maybe it wasn't so solidified then as it is now. They didn't have 13 principles of faith as written by the Rambam. Right? This is an important idea, I think, to open ourselves up to the theoretical possibility whether that could be interpreted differently. Even though we have that braita that says you lose your chelik in Olam Haba, it says that didn't stop the Chachmei HaTalmud from saying ki klalot shebe mishnah Torah Moshe mipi ki klalot shebe mishnah Torah Moshe mipi atzma amran, that it didn't prevent whoever it was, Abaye or the Stam Gemara, from saying that the curses were said by Moshe himself. It wasn't, they felt free to discuss opinions, to think theoretically about who said this, how was it said, why was it said, and didn't feel theologically closed in. What does that result in? Does that mean that you can believe anything? And that the Chachmei HaTalmud would believe in anything, didn't have any dogma, didn't have any theological rules? Shadal does not believe that. That would be a little too much. There is a book by Menachem Kellner, and the name of it is Must a Jew Believe in Anything? And he tries to prove that according to Judaism, or like Jewish thought, there isn't necessarily a requirement, as opposed to the Rambam, to believe specific things. Maybe you could draw that from Shadal here, but I don't think that's what Shadal is saying. I think he's just saying that in the world of thought, we should be open to new ideas, judge them as they come, and understand them properly. It's a classic Shadal idea to read into this expression. Shkoyach, guys.